A man by the name of Alvin Toffler, he wrote a number of books. He wrote a book called Future Shock. And in some of the books that he's written, he always thinks he's saying, here's what could happen in the future if everything keeps going the way it's going. He's got all kinds of things. But he has one chapter on marriage relationships, and he says this, marriage relationships, and he says, because of the no-fault divorces and the rising number of divorces, he said there'll probably come a time in which marriages will be temporary. People will get married probably for 5 years, and then they'll terminate, and they'll have options at the end, and they'll decide what to do with the children. In fact, they'll be what they call financed parents who will want to raise children for money. They'll take other people's children after they divorce, and I say, we'll raise your children for you. Now, that's a scary world to come. I'm not sure Alvin Toffler's going to be right on this one. He's right on some things. He looks ahead, but I don't see that. But as we look at the whole aspect of marriage and the roles, marriage has changed so much. And talking about in our culture, not in the Bible, but in our culture. Our culture doesn't necessarily see the seriousness of marriage. You know, it is so much easier to get married than to get a driver's license. I mean, it is. If you get to get a driver's license, I mean, I know I just had a teenager go through that. I mean, it's you got a lot of things to do to get married. I do weddings all the time. And, there's been a large increase. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's been a large increase in people getting premarital counsel. You know why? The state of Oklahoma decided that they would do this, that if you got ready to buy your marriage license and you had not had premarital counseling, you couldn't bring a letter up there from someone showing they counseled you, I think the marriage license is either $45 or $50. But if you can show that you had premarital counseling, it's either $5 or $10. So a lot of people say, you know, we better get that counseling. It'll save us $40. Save you a lot more than $40, let me tell you. It'll save you a lot. People do not think marriage is very serious, especially on the counseling end. It doesn't happen very often now, but in the earlier days of the church, I would get calls sometimes Saturday, 1 o'clock, out of the blue. Somebody say, are you the pastor at Countryside? Yeah, I am. Listen, I'm getting married today. Can you do the wedding? I'd say, no, I can't. Why not? That's your job. I said, no, it's not my job. My job is not to do weddings. My job is to bring together Christian families, not to do weddings. So sometimes people just look at it that way. I read an article in USA Today about in Nevada that the Winnebago Chapel. It's a Winnebago that drives around, stops. And if you want to get married, they guarantee your wedding, you can be married in 10 minutes. That's their guarantee. How do we look at marriage? How do we look at the roles? For the past several weeks, we've been seeing the role of the husband and the wife. We've been putting that together. First, we looked at the role of the wife, and now second of 2 weeks on the role of the husband. And the bottom line is, what are we supposed to do? And we saw that we're to live according to the Scripture. We've seen that marriages are in trouble in America, and just the statistics. The world's way of marriage doesn't work. The roles don't work. With the way the world has set it up and says, this is what you ought to do, it doesn't work. We already know that. We must base our marriages on the Word of God and the biblical paradigm. And you know, the truth are, men and women are different, right? Biblically, they have different roles, but they are different. Think about this. When a woman goes to her closet and says, I don't have anything to wear, she means I don't have anything new to wear. Now, when a man goes to the closet and says, I don't have anything to wear, he means I don't have anything clean to wear. That's the guy. We want to take a look at our roles, especially the guys. What's the man like? Let's talk about the ideal man. The ideal man from the culture, from our world, says this. He begins his day in the bathroom with shaving cream in one hand and a beautiful blonde in the other. Where did this woman come from? That's one of the first questions we ask. Second, he zips to work in his sports car. He controls his office as he finishes his day by working out at the spa. That's what the world says the successful man is. But, you know, what's the real guy like? What's it really like? Well, he begins his day by looking in the mirror and said, you know, it's more and more seems to be going away. And he uses his trusted Norelco, and he gets out his shirt and his pockets filled with pens and pencils. And he goes down to breakfast of Cheerios with his children. And he goes off to work, and he drives his 8-year-old car, and he drops his children off at school. And there is no spa right after work. And at the end of the day, maybe there's the soccer game and the pizza. That's what the real guy's all about. What's the ideal man? There's the contrast between what the world says and what God says. Think about this. Our world says man is to be an independent man. But God values man who depends on him. Our world says man needs to walk to the beat of a different drum. But God says the man needs to walk according to the Word of God. The world says a man must be a man of authority and makes his own rules. God says a man must live by the according of, to the scripture and the Bible. The world says a man must believe in himself. And God says a man must believe and trust God. See, our whole world has blurred the roles so much, people don't even know what the husband's supposed to do, what the wife's supposed to do. I have kids. I call them kids. I have people come in to get ready to be married, and we start going over the roles, and sometimes they look at me like, are you kidding me? I mean, they see it in the Bible, and they go, "That's yeah, that's right, but that's not what everybody does." Yeah, there's a reason for why there's so many problems. Let's get a brief review. We've been looking at, of course, starting about 5:22 all the way to 6:9. We're seeing the roles of those who live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Roles of husband and wife and parents and children and slaves and masters. And we began several weeks ago looking at the role of the woman. And that the key word there was the word submission. And that's not a dirty word. It's not a bad word. It means to take the place, come under the authority of the husband. Man has been placed as the head of the home and the head of the family. That's the way God said it. It has nothing to do with inferiority or superiority. It has to do with the roles that God has set up. And the woman is to come under that. Ephesians 5, Titus 2, 1 Peter 3. The bottom line is she is to love her husband. She is to love her children. She's a godly woman. She is to take care of the home. She is to submit and all of those things. And if you want more details, you can, of course, get the what we saw last time. But I did a study years ago on the roles of husbands and wives, and you can get that off the internet or the tape or whatever if you want to get that. Now, last time we looked at the role of the husband, and the key words seemed to be loving leadership. Those key words going together, loving leadership. Verse 23-24, it says, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. As the church is subject to Christ, the wives ought to be subject to their husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's loving leadership. Husband is the head. He is the leader, but he is a servant. He is to serve. In fact, men, we have to serve our wives and families. That's the hard thing. We're not living for ourselves. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Loving leadership and service. This evening, we're going to look a little bit at the last part of the passage, actually beginning about verse 28 is where we stopped last time. We stopped at 27. We'll get 28. We'll see how it breaks down. Let me give you the outline. The outline of the passage is the key is love. Love by providing and protecting. That's verses 28 and 29. Husband is to love his wife and family by providing for them and love his wife and family by protecting them. Why does all this fit together? Because we're one flesh, verses 30 and 31. And then the summary, he puts the roles together in verse 32 and 33. So it's a pretty powerful little section. Remind you of how all this fits together. The role of the husband, he is the head, he is the leader. But the leadership over and over in the Bible is servanthood. In fact, the scripture always says if a man or anybody wants to be great, you have to be a servant. You want to be a great leader, you have to be a servant. That's what it boils down to. The key word in this whole section is loving leadership and love in two ways. I think I've got love by sacrificing and love by providing and protecting. Now, last time we looked at the love by sacrificing. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And we talked about the husband sacrifices for his family, give up his life for his family, give up himself for his family. We're to serve them, leading them in a sacrificial love. Now we have the second aspect, though, and that's the first, love by sacrificing. I think one more after that, isn't it? Love by providing and protecting. And this is the key. What ties them together is the whole idea of one flesh. You may not think about that, but that's going to be a central aspect that he goes through this. Because over there he gets over in verse 30 and talks about members of the same body. Verse 31, we become one flesh. Verse 32 is the whole idea is the picture of Christ and the church. The whole idea he keeps saying, husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and takes care of his own body, those kind of things. So we'll see that as we go through it. It's pretty powerfully. And this passage, the picture is the relationship and the same. Husband and wife are the same as Christ and the church. Now that's got to be the most amazing thing you can think about, that when two men, that a man and a woman come together, two people come together as husband and wife, they're actually a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. And that is an amazing thing. Powerful. Husband is the head as Christ is the head. The wife submits as the church submits. The husband loves as Christ loves. This is that picture. The providing and protecting. Back, look at verse 28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. He starts off by saying that the husband ought to love his wife as his own body. The truth is, she is his own body. They're together. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 7. And it talks about, and let me read something to you. This is why I love this passage. And I ask this question of premarital counseling every time. The whole passage is dealing with sexual relationships, talking about a husband and wife and about immoralities. And then it says, the husband has fulfilled his duty to a wife and likewise the wife to the husband. Talking about sexual duties. And then he says in verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And then I stop and ask them, why is that true? They get it every time. You know why it's true? Because they're one flesh. Once they're married, they become one flesh. And so the husband does not have authority over his body anymore, but she does. Then she doesn't have authority over her body anymore, but he does, because they're one. And that's the key in this whole passage of Ephesians 5 when it talks about the husband and wife. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. That is the key. Now, we've talked about this before, and I just want to remind you, love is a decision. Love is not a feeling. Love has feelings connected with it. There are emotions connected with love, but love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action and a decision. God so loved the world. The Bible commands us to wives to love their husbands, husbands to love their wives, us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul, love our neighbors and ourselves. It's a command. Love is a decision. There are feelings connected with love, and sometimes they're not feelings connected with love. Sometimes it goes up and down. If you only do what you're supposed to do when you feel like it, you won't do it very much. He loves his wife as his own body. Verse 31 says, the two shall become one flesh. Let's talk about one flesh for just a second. One of the questions I ask in premarital counseling, what does it mean, one flesh? Because I make them go to the Genesis passage where it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's also quoted in verse 31 here. It's also quoted in Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6, where he says, for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they're no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. What does it mean to become one flesh? Well, it's a mystical, magical, spiritual union between a man and a woman that the moment they become married, they become one flesh. And from that point on, they can no longer go through life saying, this is what I'm going to do, because it's no longer you anymore. It's not, this is what I'm going to do. No. We're together. The husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does, and vice versa. And the two have become one flesh. And so one flesh is that idea of that they're one spiritually and one intellectually and one emotionally and one even physically and all of that that ties together. So he says husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And then he says, for he who loves his own wife loves himself, because they're one. He goes on to explain, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church. Now we see, I think, a key thing here. And this whole idea of nourishing and cherishing and taking care of it. In fact, there's a couple of words that stand out. First of all, nourish and cherish. Then a little bit later, I think we've got the second slide. It says nourish. It literally has the idea to provide. And when it says the husband is to nourish in his wife, he says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. He's talking about his wife. He's to nourish and cherish his wife, just as Christ also does the church. The church nourishes and cherishes the church. Christ provides and protects us. The husband is to provide and protect his wife in his family. To nourish has that idea of feeding and providing. The word cherish has that idea of something that is so valuable, you're going to protect it. That's the role. Husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. The husband is the head. He is the leader. He is the spiritual head and the spiritual leader. And he is to love her by sacrificing. He is to love her by providing and protecting. It's a key. Notice it says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church. The man is to provide and protect his wife just like Christ provides and protects the church. Nourish and cherish. Let's think about nourishing for just a second. It is the man's, this makes some people mad now. Let me tell you, it makes some people mad when I say this. Probably not in this room, I hope, but it makes some people mad. It is the man's responsibility to provide for the needs of his family. It is not the woman's role to provide. I didn't say a woman can't work. A woman can work between her and her husband. She can work anything she wants to, but it is not her role to provide for her family. It is the role of the husband to provide for the needs of his family. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if a man does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:8. It is the man's role to provide. It's not her role. Our culture, our society says it's both of them's role to provide. That's what our culture says. That puts the woman in two roles. She's not only got to take care of the house and her family, she's got to provide. That's why there's so many problems, because there's two roles there. This goes against our culture when we look at the scripture. But we know that the culture one's not working very good, is it? So we better go back to what the Word of God has to say. In a magazine called Marriage, ready for this? Marriage and Divorce Magazine. Well, there's some statistics given, and it was pretty surprising. They said in the United States, in the 1990s, this just comes out of the 90s, it said that average for every wedding, there was also a divorce. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's for every marriage, there's a divorce. Or every marriage ends in divorce. Well, some people actually say, no. But in the statistics in our country, the number of weddings equaling the number of divorces. But here's a statistic from this magazine. In a marriage where both people were, listen how they put it, were married in a church and attended church regularly, the divorce rate was between 1 out of 30 and 1 out of 100. That's the difference Jesus Christ can make. That's the difference. Men are to provide, but we have to be real careful as providers because we're hunters. See, and we hunted down and got our wives, and we got them, and we say, now I got that. Now what am I going to go after? And most of the time they go after their jobs, their work. And instead of it just being the means to provide for their family, it becomes their role, their idea of where their importance is. And we got to be very careful because we need to live for our Savior and our families and not for our work. There's a second thing, providing, and that's protecting, that's cherishing. The man is the defender of the family. He's the defender. Man is bigger, stronger, placed as the head, the leader, the provider, the protector. God has placed man in that role. The wife is to feel safe and secure in the family as the husband is the provider and the protector. I always ask the question in premarital counseling. I look right at the guy. If somebody's breaking in the house, who fights? You do. You do. The man is the defender of the family. He's the protector of his family. We saw in 1 Peter, last time we looked at 1 Peter, which dealt with the role of the wife, but in 1 Peter 3, it says for the man to live with his wife in an understanding manner. That means to know her. That takes time. I mean, how many of you guys really think you know your wives? But it takes time. As we go by, we know the things that build her up, the things that tear her down, the things that are going to help her. It says, treat her special. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of Jesus Christ. We must know our wives. Dr. Willard Harley, in his book, His Needs, Her Needs, points out the priorities. Have you read this? Guys, this is surprising. For guys, it's surprising, not surprising for the women. Here's what it said. It listed the top five desires of the man, the top five desires of the woman. Top five desires of the man. Number one, sexual fulfillment. Number two, relationship companionship. Number three, an attractive spouse. Number four, domestic support. Number five, admiration of his wife. Those are his top five. Sexual fulfillment, recreation, a companionship, an attractive spouse, domestic support, admiration for his wife. A woman's desires. Number one, affection. Number two, conversation. Number three, honesty and openness. Number four, financial support. Number five, family commitment. Guys, not in the top ten is this sexual thing. The guys are going, wait a minute, that's my number one thing. She's going, you what? We all know that men and women do not think alike. God made it that way on purpose. He says, husbands, you love your wives as yourself. In the same way that Christ provides and protects the church, we're to provide and protect our wives. That is the key. He goes on and says, how is this? Why does it work? How does it work? Verse 30. Because we're members of his body. We are members of the body of Christ. We belong to him. We're one body. Why does the husband provide and protect his wife? Because we're members one of each other. Listen to this. It doesn't say Christ doesn't love the church as his body. It is his body. And the husband doesn't love the wife as his body. She is his body. One flesh. Look at the quote there in verse 31, which goes all the way back to Genesis 2:24. He says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." There is this union and special relationship between a man and a woman that is different than anything else. It is because it is the first divine institution, is before government, is before the church, is before anything. God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a man and a woman, and they're going to leave their family relationship, their mother and daddy, which is the greatest, strongest relationship they've had up to that point. They're going to leave their mother and father, and they're going to come together, and they're going to cleave to each other. They're going to build a relationship that is even different than their family relationship that they had with their mother and father. They're going to leave their mother and father. And the man's going to leave his mother and father, join to the wife. The two shall become one flesh. Incredible. Kenneth Hughes states this. He says, that one flesh union is so special, two people are as much as the same person as they can be. Christians in marriage have the same Lord, the same family, the same children, the same future, the same destiny. Only God could design a plan that would be a man and a woman coming together in this way. That's the very first thing he did. That old story that Adam, when Adam woke up, he realized he had had surgery and was now married. You know, and he goes, what happened? We're to love our wives as ourselves. As Christ provides and protects, husband are to provide and protect. Now, we've been seeing this. Lead by loving, and as loving sacrifice, as loving and providing protection. Men, when we think about our roles, when we think about our responsibilities, we're to lead because God has placed you in that responsibility. But it's loving leadership, and it's loving by sacrificing, loving by providing, loving by protecting. It's powerful. Paul brings home this truth, and he shows that this relationship is really a picture of Christ in the church. Look what he says in verse 32. This mystery is great. What mystery? The mystery of the man and the woman. The mystery of how God set it up with the husbands and the wives and coming together and all of this. He says, this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. You could say, but I thought you were talking about husband and wife. He said, I am. But you said you were talking about Christ and the church. I am. Because Christ and the church is a picture, and the picture of the husband and wife is really the picture of Christ and the church. As Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of his wife. And as Christ loves the church enough to die for it, the husband loves his wife enough to die for her. And as the church submits to Christ, the wife is to submit to her husband. It's a picture. Let me tell you, if we fulfill our roles, if we do what it says, if we live in that way. Now, let me just say something about the providing part. There are times in our lives, there are times in men's life, they may be in school. They may be going and about to graduate, going to school, and the wife is working full time and the husband's just maybe working just a few hours a week while he's going to school. That's okay. That's a temporary thing. What we're talking about here is the role as a whole. There may be temporary times when the wife is working because the husband is sick or something might have happened or he might be in school. There's no telling. But as a pattern, the pattern is the husband is the provider for his family. That's the key. Look how he finishes this thing. And as we said, he's speaking of the Christ and the church. As the church leads, the man leads. As the church, as Christ loves, the man loves. As the church submits, the wife submits. And then he puts it this way. Nevertheless, gives a little summary here. Nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Now, when I do premarital counseling, I say that there's an overarching role for the husband and for the wife. For the man, it's called loving leadership. For the woman, it is respectful submission. The overarching role for the man is he loves and leads, and the overarching role for the woman is she submits and respects. That's the key. And then underneath that is what I call the responsibilities. Is where the wife loves her husband, loves her children, is a pure woman, takes care of the home. And where the husband loves his wife and provides for her and protects her and lives with her in an understanding manner. That's his responsibilities. Those all tie together. Paul sums it up by saying, nevertheless, men, love your wife as yourself. That's the key. And when you love, you provide and you protect. And then he says, and see to it that the wife respects her husband. That's why it's called respectful submission. One of the questions I ask the wives or women in premarital counseling, I say, is it easy to submit to someone you don't respect? What's the answer to that? No. That's why there's respectful submission. That's why there's this security and that the woman feels when she feels safe and protected and respecting her husband. You've heard me say this before, but if a woman wants to feel loved, her husband provides and protects her, makes her feel secure. If a man wants to feel that he's loved, his wife shows him respect. That's the key. And any time a man doesn't feel that his wife respects him, he thinks she doesn't love him. And any time the man is not providing and protecting his wife, she feels like he doesn't love her. That's the key. What have we seen? We've seen wives submit to your husbands, come under the authority God has placed them in the head. Love your husbands, love your children, be a woman of character, take care of the home. We've seen that a husband's role is loving leadership. Love by sacrificing, giving his life for his wives and family, knowing her, honoring her, loving by providing and protecting, living as that one flesh. There's a lot here. And there's a lot of details. And there's so many things that you could go to the Titus passage and the 1 Peter passage and other places, and you can get even more details. We just wanted to highlight the Ephesians passage. Let me give you some applications, and we'll open up for any questions. First application, fulfill our roles according to God's Word. And that's the key that you could say is the application for the whole section. Whatever the role is, whatever God's Word says for you to do, fill that out. We must be different from the fallen world system. Because the fallen world system is going to pot, right? It's just mess. It is a mess. And we got to be different. It has failed. It does not work. It can't work. Follow the biblical pattern. Think about this. A, wives submit. Let the husband take his role. Submit. Come under that authority. Submit and respect. Be a godly woman. Be known for your character. Take care of the home. Have that respectful submission. Fulfill the role that God has for you. We saw several weeks ago, what happens? What happens if the man doesn't do what he's supposed to do? Well, the 1 Peter passage talked about that. And it really basically said, you fulfill your role and be a godly woman so that he may be one even without a word as he sees your godly behavior. That's a key. B, husbands, take loving leadership. That's the key. Love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Lead that family spiritually. Lead them in every aspect. Love them enough to sacrifice. Love them enough to provide and protect. And realize that this whole thing is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. Boy, these are some hard things. Jesus Christ has given us the pattern to be lived out in our relationship with one another. May we follow God's pattern, fulfilling our roles as husband and wives as we see in Jesus Christ his relationship to the church. Let's pray and we'll open up for some questions. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the passage. And Lord, when we look at the role of the husband and role of the wife, we realize, Lord, that you have set up in a biblical pattern particular things that men and women are to do. And Lord, we know it's not culturally based, it's biblically based. These things don't change as the culture changes. Lord, we know that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He is to love her and to lead. He is to be the spiritual leader and the head. He is to provide and protect for his family. He is to live with his wife in an understanding manner. He is to love her with a sacrificial love. Lord, may we men do that. We know that the wives are to have respectful submission. They are to submit to their husbands, who is the head, just as they submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. May they submit to their husbands in all things. And may they love their husbands and love their children. And may they be a pure, godly woman. May they take care of their home. May they do all the things that you have in their role. And Lord, I pray that the families in our church, that we will do the very best we can in seeking to live according to your word. That in a culture that is pushing the opposite direction, may we live by the word of God. And may we fulfill the roles that you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.